Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Happy hump day. Good morning and welcome onto the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you as always by Happy State Bank. Alongside Jeff Haxton, I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White across the way taking care of us. You two can hit us up. Thoughts, comments, questions, hopes, dreams, allegations, accusations, whatever you got. Bring it in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through that 100.7 The Score mobile app. We will get into a plethora of topics today. Plenty to dive into over the next 3 hours. The big man's going to be in town today. He's not that big. He's actually pretty thin. But the big man of the conference, Brett Yormark's in town this afternoon.
Darth Yormark.
Darth Yormark?
Why not?
It does seem like he's not that liked by the rest of the commissioners. Right? He does. Because Sankey's kind of come out and said some mean stuff. The Big Ten guy, the new guy, I can't remember his name at this point, but he's basically like letting him take the fall for the Pac-12. Of course you would do that. Of course, Kliavkov definitely doesn't like Brett Yormark. It just seems like Yormark's such a trailblazer going against the grain of the norm that his peers don't care for him.
Well, he's brought a new time to the league, that's for sure. It's not business as usual. It hasn't been since he took over. Definitely forward-thinking instead of kind of in your comfort zone. I think he's brought a lot of people out of their comfort zones. Mm-hmm. And so far, the grade is an A. And
so far,
you know, just I'll be interested to see where the Mexico thing goes and how that works with playing a few games in Mexico. But overall, thrilled that he's the commish, thrilled that he's in town, and hope he has a good stay here in Lubbock. I think the last time he came to town, he got a pair of boots.
I think you're right. Yeah. Kirby took him boot shopping and got the double T boots. Those look good goofing. Too. New boot goofing. Panic time for the Rangers fans out there, maybe. Get to that. Some fresh bowl projections, week zero bowl projections. Don't you love it? I mean, the bracketology, the bowl projections, all of it. But people like me click and we'll give it a little time, so that's why they do it. These are from our friend, though, Hax. A friend of the program, Brett McMurphy. That's what we say. A friend of the program. Brett McMurphy put out his bowl projections. And I was wondering, okay, is he going to back off his tech love after?
Nope.
No.
Why would you at this point?
He didn't.
If you went out on that kind of limb already, it hadn't even been a snap yet. You can't. Nope.
I'm very much back up. Very much okay with the bowl and opponent he's projected tech for. So we'll get you that. And plenty more coming up.
Yeah, we'd have some fun with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Big 12. I got something that I thought was funny on Twitter that we'll twist into the Big 12. It was SEC fan base biggest triggers. It had everything assigned to the fan bases. So, like, A&M's, I'll go through them, but A&M's was talking about overpaying for players. That's, like, their biggest trigger. So I want to, you know, tag that to Big 12 and see what people think would be the biggest triggers.
I got a quote on that I want to get to you here. About
Jimbo?
No. It's about pay for play in general.
Speaking of that, we finished watched the Johnny Manziel thing finally last night. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, like, it's just like, it was really well done. Great documentary. I don't know what to think. Cause I don't think
the only thing that I didn't like is like about 75% of the way through it, they started to pivot and turn us. And you're thinking, okay, this thing is going to last. There's going to be a part two on this deal.
Right.
Cause at that point I didn't know it was just one. And I didn't know really how long it ran. And so it started to pivot and turn us this way, and then it was just over.
Just, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what Megan said. She's like, that's it?
Yeah.
When it finished, is like, that's all? But I don't think I walked away from it thinking any differently of Johnny Manziel.
I did.
I always thought he was a little bleep. Never. It didn't change with the documentary. He wanted to get his money. It was pretty obvious then. I just don't. It revealed some stuff. There's no question.
What about how he treated his buddy?
Okay. Yeah, that's the one. That's probably the worst. I mean, he talked about loyalty and then it's like, bye bye.
Well, it's like, for me, it's like,
talked again since.
Yeah, we knew he was a self absorbed jerk, but man, he was a self absorbed jerk.
But I thought,
a lot of problems. Now, if you want to start saying, okay, let's cut Johnny a little bit of slack because he's got alcoholism issues, he's got drug issues, he's got issues. Right. Okay. If we want, we can start talking. But just,
yeah, I thought his line at the end of it was exactly right. Which, teaser, spoiler alert, whatever. I don't think I'm giving too much away. He says, "I was a frat boy that just happened to play college football," and that's like that
and
was
be
it.
Phenomenal.
Yeah,
just a phenom. But here's the quote: a coach in the SEC, when asked how has NIL changed how you recruit a player. Here's the quote. Money talks. If you want a kid, you're going to have to pay for him. It's a win-now era in college basketball. You can turn a program around in 1 year with a roster flip. End quote. So okay. That was just talking about, I don't know if that translates to football in the SEC, but I can only imagine.
I don't think it translates as hard as it does to basketball.
I think it does.
As steadfast.
You're on the defensive line.
Okay.
On the defensive line, I think it might translate.
Defensive line or pass rusher?
That's just everybody on the defensive line. Because
I got plenty of those in the SEC.
That's what I'm saying. And that's where they have the advantage.
But I don't know necessarily that one guy. Like in basketball, I guess it's not one guy. But a couple of guys in basketball can turn a program. Two guys, you pay them big money, they can turn it. As we saw last year, a couple of guys can turn it for the worst. I mean, we saw that firsthand. Egos, everything involved. I mean, basketball, because it truly is a rotation of 6 to 8 guys, since it's so much smaller than a 22-man football team, I feel like it's just affected by individuals even more.
Fardoz is my least favorite Red Raider
really?
Since I've been here.
Of all, anybody. I bet, you know what? I bet a lot of people would echo that. A lot of people probably would. That's an interesting, like, who is your least favorite? We've talked about favorites and all that, which one of your favorites has a birthday today. Get to that. Taking a look at the calendar in a little bit. They did the Madden NFL season simulation. Very odd to see the results on that, but I'll take it. A little tease for what that is. Big 12's partnered with a software company to keep people from betting. That's a thing. Brett will probably talk about that. And Hacks, it's prediction day. We're 10 days away from the start of the season. We are handing out our predictions for Texas Tech and the college football season coming up a little bit later this hour. Some headlines first. That's next on 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Time for some headlines. What you need to know, part of the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Joyce Woodman, Jeff Haxton here in the First United Bank studio. Appreciate you joining us on this Wednesday. T-minus 10 days away from a season start for Texas Tech football. And all the preseason festivities well underway, including the Red Raider Club Texas Tech kickoff luncheon that will happen coming up around noon today. I think it actually starts at 11:30 this morning. If you're going, great. If not, we'll have some highlights from it a little bit later today from Brett Yormark, Kirby Hoke, Joey McGuire, all that sort of stuff. We'll have some of those highlights for you later and tomorrow on the programs. Also in the preseason stuff, more accolades rolling in. Bryce Ramirez and Cole Spencer both named to the Comeback Player of the Year watch list. This is one of those, like, if Bryce Ramirez has a good season, he should be at the top of anybody's list, because you're talking Comeback Player of the Year. That's a guy who wasn't sure if he was going to walk normal after. Most people thought there's no way that guy's playing football again, but he's out there in fall camp running around and in the two deep. So pretty awesome story to see. You've seen how much his coaches love him. Talking about that, he wears the number 3, which is the honor in this Texas Tech program. So Bryce Ramirez is definitely a great candidate for that. And then, of course, Cole Spencer didn't get to play at all last year. He's one of those that may be your best or second best offensive lineman on this team. And he'll have an opportunity to be a big impact player for Texas Tech this year. High School Fan Zone coming up tonight. A triple dip for you. It's always been two teams a night in football season, but we got a new team in the mix. Friendship and Lubbock Cooper, 7 and 7:30. Then the Liberty Cooper Fan Zone coming up at 8 o'clock tonight, the debut of that. You can listen to all of it right here on 100.7 The Score. Let's see. We've got... Did I miss anything? Just trying to avoid the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to talk about them.
Nah.
They did
lose
again.
Let them figure it out.
They need to figure it out. Rangers lost again last night, 6-3. That's 6 losses in a row, but get swept by the Diamondbacks in the short 2-game set. Astros win over the Red Sox 7-3, so the AL West lead has dwindled down to a half a game, and there's the Mariners right there after winning 8 in a row that are sitting 1 game back of the Rangers. Time to panic? Are you waiting until they fully give up the lead?
Yeah, that's when I will. Yeah.
Because it's gotten to a half a game on this side of the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
Like right after the Rangers were slumping coming out and then got red hot. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. The Astros can tie the division standings today if they pick up a win against the Red Sox. But it has been a little dicey for Texas lately. Offense, late pitching, whatever. They need a stopper on the mound tomorrow to try to stop the bleeding. You two can hit us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, whatever you want to pour in, do so on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. James Harden got fined $100,000 by the NBA for his comments of calling his owner, Daryl Morey, a liar. Not owner, GM, sorry. But there's that. Baker Mayfield apparently lost $12 million. He got named the starter yesterday, but have you seen the story about Baker? That he is misplaced? Okay, not misplaced, but he's missing $12 million. Apparently his dad's firm. Oh, who knew Baker's dad wasn't a straight and narrow guy?
Straight shooter.
There we go. He says this, so he is forcing litigation now to find this $12 million that was either stolen or something along those lines out of this firm, missing $12 million in his after-tax earnings. So there's been legal action that has commenced on his behalf from this. If it was $12,000 for a pro athlete, okay, that's easily misplaced. $12 million. They don't know where it is. This story is wild. It's like, what is going on there? But he's the starting quarterback, so gets to follow in the footsteps of Tomothy Brady. Pretty good little opportunity for Baker there. And Jaden Rashada starting at Arizona State. Remember him? Remember the story there?
No.
You don't remember that? You remember the... I can't even remember what school was it, Lucas?
Was it Florida?
It was one of the Florida
schools. Or Miami.
That's why I can't remember. It was. I think it was Miami.
Yeah.
No, it was Florida. You're right. You're right. Jaden Rashada, remember he was the one that was promised... Was it $12 million? It may have been the exact same amount. Do you remember that, though?
He was promised so much money with his
NIL and then didn't end up getting it. So then he decommits, but it was very public.
Uh-huh.
It's like, hey, this whole thing where we're not supposed to recruit with money, we're going to be super public about it. NCAA is not going to do anything. And then he decommitted, ended up going to Arizona State, and he is going to be the starter as a true freshman. I saw some sort of – it was 13.85 – let's see. $13.85 million is what he was supposed to receive at Florida.
And there we are back to if you want a kid, you're going to have to pay him.
Exactly. There you go.
I have an interesting ranking system here. The college basketball report. I'm not trying to steer you to hoops, no, but it's just
I got
stuff that's jumped out at me today. best recruiting and transfer combined classes for 2023. Seven Big 12 teams are in the top 25. Texas Tech is not one of them.
So for 2023, this is recruiting?
Like the class that's coming in for this year.
But including transfers or no?
Yes.
So that's the combined part.
Yes.
Okay, that's what
I was saying. You got a guy out of high school, you got a transfer. Here's your 2023 rankings. Kentucky, Duke, USC, Baylor 4, UConn 5. Look. Iowa State 9, Kansas 12.
Kansas is just 12?
Mm-hmm.
Shocked at that with the addition of the Giant from Michigan.
Houston 22, K-State 23, Cincinnati 24, Oklahoma State was 15. I don't know if I said them.
I don't think you did.
Okay. There's your Big 12 teams. Seven of the 25.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance this league's going to be ridiculous and tough to win in.
Right. Man, it was already... Like, you are already stepping up even more with the three or with four schools you're adding, right? Since he's already a good basketball school, Houston, obviously, good, and especially in recent years, they've been good. BYU has held their own. Central Florida, yeah. But three of the four schools are good basketball schools that you've added, and then you go and add the Pac-12 schools for next year. I mean, this is going to be the premier basketball league for the future. No question about it. I mean, you still have your Dukes and your North Carolinas out east, but top to bottom, there is no rival. It's not even close. So it's going to make for some very, very stressful nights in the future. And we still don't know what our basketball schedule looks like.
No.
I mean, we are sitting here.
Yeah. That'll be really interesting once it comes out.
We're almost 2 months out,
yeah.
two and a half months away, and we don't have a schedule.
So I don't have time for this story, okay. But I'll hit it when we come back.
Just start it with us when we come back. Several thoughts rolling in on the chat line. We will.
If Stanford and Cal go to the ACC, then the pack is gone. The American and the Mountain will be ready to take Oregon State and Washington State to join in 2024.
Stanford and Cal aren't going to the ACC.
They're not?
As much as there's a couple of schools that want them, the consensus over there, it's not going to happen. It's all smokescreen at this point. It's the end of the bench. on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Happy Wednesday, y'all. It's the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman and Jeff Haxton here in the First United Bank studio all the way till high noon. Lucas White across the way. It is time for our predictions. We've been doing this for a few years. Due to lack of organization, we only bring them back to you like half the time, but we're going to stay organized, I promise. We will have these 4 months from now, basically. At the turn of the new year, we'll go back through these and see how right we were. These are not bold predictions. These are predictions we are attempting to get right. Not going to say Texas Tech will play at least 12 games this year. We're not going to fly with that. But COVID year, that might have been a bold prediction. But this is we're attempting to get these correct. Now, at least three out of our five will involve Texas Tech. And really, just no parameters. So, me or you?
How many?
Five total.
I can go.
Get after it.
Okay. I have 3 Tech.
Okay.
1 Big 12. And 1 overall.
All right.
Tech will play in the Big 12 championship but lose.
Okay.
Tech will have a 1,000-yard rusher and receiver.
Both. Tech hasn't had either in 5 years, Tom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
2018, last time.
Baron Morton will appear in 6 games or more.
Oh, man. Appear in? So that could be blowouts that he appeared in, or that could be injury. I'm guessing you're leaning towards the latter.
No, I'm talking about just within the game plan.
Oh, okay. Good, like they did a little bit last year.
Yeah.
In the bowl game. And
no, I'm not going to put that on Shuck. I mean, I'm rooting for Shuck to stay healthy. I'm rooting for him to have the year of his life. But I still think Baron, with the talent and some of the different skill sets that he brings to the table.
You want to get him on the field.
We'll get on the field.
Okay. I like that one. That's unique.
Someone outside the SEC will win the college football playoff.
Okay. I like that one, too, because I'm getting bored of the SEC.
Me too.
So, candidates, Ohio State, Michigan, probably the top
USC.
Of that. USC's up there. Yeah, okay.
Oh. And for me, close to home, Oklahoma State will win 8 games.
8 games. Okay. I think that's a successful season for them if they get to 8.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's not way out of reach by any
means. Because of the schedule.
Because of the schedule.
No Texas, no Baylor, no TCU, no Texas Tech. Come on. I mean, you.
And the favorable games seem to be at home. Yeah. Or like the ones you would rather have at home or at home. And yeah, it is definitely a favorable schedule. Okay. I think those are good. All right. I did 6 just in case one was similar and one was similar. You out. Bolded me on one of them, so that one's going to scratch. Tyler Shuck will account for at least 37 touchdowns in 2023. I believe his total at Texas Tech is 19 right now. I believe that's his total. He's averaging around 2 a game, so this would be over that. Number 2 for me. When Texas Tech heads to Austin for the final regular season game, at least one of the two teams will be playing to get into the Big 12 championship. At least one of the two will have a Big 12 championship on the berth on the line. Texas Tech will go 2-0 against Purple Big 12 teams this season.
Get them both at home.
Got both of them at home. Is it back-to-back? They're close.
It's close to back to back.
Yeah, I don't know if it's not. Back to back home games, I believe it is. You get a road game sandwiched in between. But yeah, 2-0 against the Purple teams, which, man, I want that K-State game. The next one, Texas Tech will have more total sacks than it did as a team last year. So you're losing Tyree Wilson, but as a team, the sack number goes up. And lastly, at least five coaches and at least one Big 12 coach will be fired before the 2023 season is over.
You need to go more bold. You need to say before...
I'm not saying...
November 15th.
I'm not going that bold. I think five in season is still plenty bold. It's got to come back to the pack at some point.
I think that's a layup.
You think that's a layup?
Mm-hmm.
That five guys get canned?
Easy.
I'm not talking about before bowl games. I'm talking before the final regular season game.
That's probably good enough.
Yeah, I'm not before bowl games. This is before the final regular season game. Lucas, your five predictions, please.
Okay, number one, I've got Texas Tech having a high power offense, so they will average more than 28 points a game this season. Second one, Texas Tech will be playing in a New Year's Six Bowl.
Okay.
Number three, Joey McGuire will win Big 12 Coach of the Year.
Okay. I think if they play in a New Year's Six Bowl, he's going to be the Big 12 Coach of the Year, yeah.
The two that are not Tech-related, this is contradictory to what Hack says, but I believe Georgia will three-peat.
And yeah, I'm just trying
When's the last time we've seen a three-peat in college football?
I'm just trying to get it off the current train.
I'm rooting for Hexes for sure. When's the last time we saw a three-peat in college football? Do you remember?
Mm-mm. Couldn't tell you.
I mean, last year was the first back-to-back since Florida. And three-peat's a big deal.
Yeah. And then the last one, just like Hex, they got a personal one. Liberty will win the Conference USA in their first year in their new conference.
Okay. How'd they finish in the what were they in last year? They're still independent? Okay, so this is the first year in the conference. Gotcha. All right, y'all can fire in some predictions if you would like to do so. They're in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We'll accept any and all of those. Read yours as well. You had a story that you buried the lead on.
I did.
If you want to share it now.
So again, we're Adventures in Parenting. We got pickup of Mick, the first time that I picked her up from pre-K.
Okay.
And again, she's four. She knows things are going on, but doesn't know some things are going on. Very attached to mama. We've talked about that before a lot. So pick her up, smiles, hugs. I look like dad of the year. She runs to me on the playground.
Yeah.
When she sees me, so let's go play Frogger and get in the car because traffic's just a nightmare around there.
Right.
You know that. And so get in the car. Hey, mama's not going to pick you up, obviously. She's gone. She'll be back very soon, but she's gone. No problem. Smiles.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go pick Perry up.
Okay.
Get around to FMS. Pick the boy up. He's in the car for 30 seconds. Hey, does Mick know that mom's not here?
She lose it?
15 minutes of outrageous sobbing.
Oh, man.
I wanted to strangle him.
You should have.
Perry, what are you doing? We were good. We had it. Does she know she's not here?
She lost it. That's great. Way to go, so, Perry.
I made him get out of the car. I was so... Because then I had to go pick up Cam.
You made him get out? Like where?
In the parking lot of the football stadium.
Okay.
I said, get out and just stand there at the front of the car until Cameron gets here. I was so mad.
Should have made him run a lap around the football stadium or something.
And then he was in the front, and I said, get in the back.
Yeah.
And then we went and ate Taco Tuesday, and everybody was fine.
So it was fine. Probably go through the exact same routine today, you know. It's probably going to be the exact same thing. Mom's not here. Hey, does Mick know Mom's not here?
Yeah. Son.
See you under the bench. More next on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging with us on a Wednesday. It is the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman, Jeff Haxton with you from the First United Bank studio. We've got bowl projections from Brett McMurphy. Friend of the program, Brett McMurphy. But first, the more important stuff from Brett McMurphy. So he did this exercise with the Pac-12 coaches last week where he put out, he asked all the coaches what their favorite music artist is. And Dion refused to do it, but it seems like we have no Dions in the league.
Nope.
So 14 coaches have answered favorite artists.
So I'll just ask you many trivia questions out of these.
Okay.
Are two Dave Matthews Band fans.
Oh, can I guess?
Yeah, yeah. That's what. Who are they? Or Dave? That's what the big fans. They just call him
just
Dave.
Dave. Just two Dave fans. I'm trying to think of origins. A lot of these guys. Chris Kleiman.
Chris Kleiman's Cole Swindell.
Okay. I don't know why Neil Brown. This one I pegged as
he's Zach Bryan.
Yeah, I was about to say he's going to be a country guy. Who are the two for
Dave Aranda?
Okay,
Sonny Dykes.
Okay,
Dave.
There you go, Dave guys. I'm going to guess Joey McGuire's. It's a country guy, right? I'm going to guess he said Jason Aldean.
Nope.
No. Okay. No. Nope. I remember when Matt Wells was asked this. I think he was a Kenny Chesney guy. Mm. He was asked this a few years back. Is it a Texas country guy?
Mm-hmm.
He probably said Josh Abbott just mm-mm. for the university. Tell me.
George Strait.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I like that answer, Coach. All right, so.
The worst answer on this list.
Okay.
belongs to Brent Venables.
Of course you would think that.
Kane Brown.
Of course it is the worst. I don't know what the others are, but it can't be much worse than that. Do you know who this Jelly Roll is that's coming to town? I keep hearing about
it. A lot of people do, but it's not me. I don't.
You like him?
I like him.
Okay, so I've heard he has a voice similar to Chris Stapleton. Then I went and listened to a little bit of his music while traveling this past weekend. I'm like, okay, he's got a good voice, but still bro country style. So, mm-hmm. like, Chris Stapleton isn't bro country. It's almost blues with country.
But, we have a Bob Marley on this list. Would you like to take a stab?
Marley. Is it one of the new coaches?
Yep.
Gus Malzahn. No?
No.
He's the old hat. I thought he might go Marley.
Kalani Sitake.
I thought about that, but I'm like, there's way too much weed smoking for the Mormon guy. He can't do Marley.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh boy. Dana Holgerson, Post Malone.
Okay. That's not shocking at all.
This is shocking to me.
All right. Mike Gundy?
No. Gundy said Prince. That's priceless.
I'm surprised he hadn't gone for the Jerry Curl like Prince at this point.
That's priceless. No, Steve Sarkisian. Tupac.
Okay. All right, so who have you not said?
Satterfield, Luke Combs, Matt Campbell, Van Halen, Leipold, Kenny Chesney.
Leipold.
Okay. Gus Malzahn, The Cars.
Okay, I got it right on the old part.
And that's it.
Okay. I like it. That's a good mixture. I mean, a lot of different. Sark goes Tupac. He's just saying that for recruits. There's no way he's actually.
I give him props.
Don't give Sark props for anything.
I've got to there.
All right.
I mean, I don't think he can coach a lick, but.
All right, so there's one Brett McMurphy list. We'll give you the other in a moment, but it's time for Lucas's questions first.
2 minutes of nonstop in-your-face inquiries with no end in sight. It's time now for Burning Questions.
You can pick two of these things for free for the rest of your life. And there, it's a list of five, I believe.
Okay.
So you can pick two of these. Free gas, free alcohol, free groceries, free pizza from any place you would like, or free plane tickets to any destination.
Free gas, free alcohol, free
groceries.
Groceries.
Pizza.
Oh, gosh. I mean, gas is so expensive, but I use groceries more than gas at this point. So I think I'm going groceries and destinations. I want to be able to fly anywhere I want at any point.
I'm going to be very practical and go with things that we use every day, every minute.
Gas and groceries?
Gas and groceries.
Man, I
would like to do other, but I would like to get the pizza from Hideaway every day.
Oh, man.
But
groceries.
Savastano's, oh, my God.
But just being able to hop on a plane and get to destinations would be so nice to not.
Be great.
Pay a few $100 for it. It's a good question.
This is another similar one. It's potions. So whatever potion you drink is what you get.
Okay.
So you get the green one, which you can time travel to any time in the past. The blue, you get $100K in your bank account. Black is stay young forever. And the purple is free food and clothes for life.
Okay, so zip through them again. That.
Time travel.
Okay.
$100,000 in your bank account. Mm-hmm. Stay young forever, or food and clothing for life.
Food and clothing for life. I don't want to stay young forever. I got heaven to get to. And the time travel ones, like I want to, but then again, I'll see how quickly things can go awry in the three Back to the Future movies. So, got to be careful there.
Well, and then you've got like, just say you had a really good day where you want to go back to that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then could you like make a quick investment in Apple when you had the good day?
Oh, yeah. Forget the $100K. You're going to end up making some serious money.
Or, you know,
Biff style or changing the whole world.
You also know the outcome of that ball game, too.
That's exactly where you go right there.
So put me in that time machine, Lucas.
That's the one. That's the answer.
As long as you don't mess with the space-time continuum.
Exactly. Don't let yourself see yourself.
And then what part of the driving test do you see your kids being the most difficult for them to do?
It's always parallel park, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be it. So after that, what's... It's got to... I mean, the other parts are not
paying
that
attention.
Difficult. Yeah.
Just not veering off the road.
Stay off your
kids
phone.
These days have an attention span of nanoseconds.
How can you do the... or how are you with the parallel parking?
Fine.
Fine.
Yeah.
Like, how tight of space are you comfortable squeezing into? Because it took me a while to get comfortable with it. Now I'm pretty good.
I mean, if a car can fit in there, you can parallel park
it. Okay. Just didn't know if, like, streets of New York, you got this or...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Get your questions in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line for Ask the Benchwarmers. It is the end of the bench here, 100.7 The Score. One more with us. The bottom line coming up next right here, 100.7 The Score. Coverage tonight, you can hear Astros baseball as they go for the sweep against the Red Sox. Tonight's High School Fan Zone will be our first hour and a half edition. 7 o'clock, you can hear coaches from Friendship, 7:30, Lubbock Cooper, and for the first time this year, 8 o'clock, Liberty Cooper. How about that? Clint Scott, Jeff Haxton, Lucas White behind the glass. We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Benchwarmers, what is the best barbecue item you cook slash smoke?
Well, my smoking is way behind. I am not very good at it yet. I would be by now, but June destroyed the smoker, so we're about to get it back up and running. But you know, the easy thing to do, and Eric on Wheels taught me how to do this, and it's really good, is get just a roll of breakfast sausage, dust it in Italian seasoning. Actually, put the Italian seasoning down on the wax paper, and then roll the sausage over it, and it'll stick. Throw that in there. Of course, you want it exposed so the smoke will get to it. Smoked breakfast sausage is just a treat. That'd be really fast, really good to do.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a pretty good cook, but my barbecue experience has miles and miles and miles to go. And mostly it's because, for me, I feel like it's one of those things, once I dip my toes in the water, I'll be all in.
Mm-hmm.
And I have other things.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
and I am so thankful for the people that are, because when you reap the benefits, speaking of tailgates, like, those are the people to be around.
I like to do some baby backs with a brown sugar rub, put a lot of other spices into the rub so you can have some sweet with some heat. Rub those down, then smoke, then finish over some charcoal. That's really good to do, and pretty easy. It is time consuming because you gotta get those ribs right. I heard Snead talking about being a rib judge. That just sounded like the best thing in the world.
Oh my gosh, that's a dream. As a foodie, that's a dream.
I was like, he's like, you can only take one bite, and I was like, okay, that kind of sucks, but you're still getting to.
I mean, but by the time you do 20 ribs, and then he said at the end you could go back and eat them, which. As the option, I'm going to go back and finish and polish off as much as I can. For us, the only thing that we really have done in that realm is we got these little cold smoking rolls where you just light them, shut them off, put them in the old grill, and then let them roll and get the smoke on them that way. And we'll do a pulled pork that way, but that's about as much as we've ventured in the barbecue realm. You need a pasta, something like that, I'm your guy. Barbecue realm, got some work to do. Benchwarmers, what's your favorite Cajun dish or meal?
Man, this is kind of just straight food talk. We got food on the TV. we're talking food for two segments. I'll tell you, there's a place called Bubba's 2 in Thibodaux, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And they have, this is going to sound weird, Clint, because I love all the etouffee, gumbos, and all that. But one of the best things I've ever had was a carrot souffle.
Interesting.
It was decadent. This little orange crab cake looking thing. And you just took it and you just dragged the fork across it.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that was unbelievable. Down in Thibodaux, Louisiana, almost in the Gulf.
So I'm going to have to write that one down then.
Carrot souffle.
That sounds awesome.
Very sweet.
There are Cajun foods like the opposite of the IPA for me, because I haven't found very much that I haven't liked.
No, po' boys.
And you mentioned like etouffee, jambalaya, all of that.
The crawfish etouffee is incredible.
Killer. The classic super spicy, has to be spicy crawfish boil, though, I think is number one for me. And that's partially, one, the food is awesome, and you get like the sausage and the potatoes too with it, corn, all that good stuff. That's awesome. But I have never had a bad time with people around a boil before, right? And that's like the ultimate backyard. If you're doing it old school, you got the newspapers down. You don't have to worry about dishes because other than the giant pot, there's no dishes running around. You don't have to worry about like, oh, am I being too messy? Because everyone has the tail juices and You know, if you're getting all the good stuff out of the head of the crawfish, it's all over everyone. Who cares? If you wore a white shirt to that, that's on you, dude. That's number one for me by far. Benchwarmers, better musical group, Earth, Wind, and Fire or Chicago?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I think I'm Team Chicago, slightly. I don't have a very, like, I'm not planting my flag on that stance. I just like Chicago a little bit more.
I'm going to break the tie and say Earth, Wind, and Fire.
This from Bullfighter. No, 3+ hours of clean. Shoot me now.
Come on.
This from Clay. Clint, do you have to have that beard fumigated every Saturday just in case? Just in case. It's just upkeep, you know?
I don't know how you do it. I had to shave mine off yesterday.
I'm past the difficult part of the summer. Like, at this point, I might as well just keep going, right? Hoping for maybe a little bit of a break. I'm just trying to talk myself into it. I keep on telling myself it's going to be better weather-wise, and it's
huge
just not.
Huge beard.
This from Bobby Hot Dogs. His choice, the bro country of sports radio, since Janine does all the heavy lifting at the Woodman Estates.
He's already at the luncheon, so yes.
Yes.
He is.
Yes. You know, I'm sure you guys have talked about this. Brett Yormark, special guest, one of the speakers today, is he a villain in the national landscape, do you think? Because of the Big 12, and if you're invested, rock star. I mean, big win, help save your conference, you are stable, you have a seat at the table.
I think this is a great question, because, like, if you were casting casting a movie, he's got a villain look to him.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a, hey, I know people look to him. Like, if I can't get the job done, I know somebody that can.
Right.
And that, if that means kneecapping your conference, then we're going to do it. And, you know, again, the opportunities that the Pac-10 and 12 had over the years to destroy the Big 12 and didn't take them, now it turns out that, you know, they're going to get capsized by the Big 12. Not yet as far as like a national villain, but you're starting to see the Big Ten and the SEC, I think, get a little bit more territorial about, hey, now, you know, you can't come over here. You know, you stay there in the middle of the country and out west, but this is our realm over here.
And I think that's interesting because, like, I agree. I feel like they feel threatened. Like, Sankey, Big Ten guy, Petiti, I think, new guy, replace Warren. I think they feel threatened, and part of it is I feel like they had this stance of, yeah, we were a part of conference realignment. We were part of luring teams away into our conference. But we never did it out in the open. What are you doing? Like, this bold and brash, I'm telling you what we're trying to do as we accomplish it. How dare you? And it's unfair, but I feel like that's where that angle is coming from. Like, this new AD is doing this thing that we have done before, but in a new way. We would never stoop to that.
Well, I just will never forget the Kliavkov quote. We don't know if we're going shopping there yet. I mean, how highbrow and arrogant can you be knowing that you're about to ask Apple Television for $50 million a school? If you had to put your money down, do you think Cal and Stanford are in the ACC? Do they do this?
No, I don't think it just doesn't make sense for the it doesn't make sense for the ACC. It makes sense, sure, for Cal and Stanford. I don't think in the end that trigger gets pulled.
I saw a pretty good quote. It said, well, here's what's going to happen. Cal and Stanford are either going to be in the ACC and Florida State will get mad and leave the conference, or Cal and Stanford won't be in the ACC and Florida State will get mad and leave the conference. In other words, doesn't matter what happens. Florida State's going to get mad and leave the conference.
Yeah. It was a pretty solid ender here on the 8th Florida Center chat line from Mandel and Matt. Good job on the food talk, guys. Food at the games is always one of the most important unreported on sports items every year. Fat guys unite. Foodies unite. Hey, thanks for letting me hang out for half an hour with you.
You did a terrific job.
That'll do it for us today. These fellas will be back at it tomorrow. Same place, same time.
Keep Snead in line.
Yeah, we'll try. We'll keep up on that finger.
He looked
too
extra cocky as he walked by.
I think we're going to get a full hour on the bottom line of him telling us how good the finger is right now. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Keep it right here for The Bottom Line.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.